Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. I got some tickets to give away. A four-pack of tickets to PBR Stampede Days this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a four-pack of tickets to PBR Stampede Days coming up this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com will be with us later in the program. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, his takeaways from both days of joint practice for the Titans against the Falcons. We'll look ahead to the preseason game coming up tomorrow, so we'll get into all that with PK coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe, we are a significant distance into NFL training camp now. We're reaching preseason game number two for most teams coming up this weekend. And with that, the regular season is right around the corner. We're getting closer to roster cut-down day, and real football, mercifully, is almost upon us here. So, Joe, what are some storylines, some takes around the National Football League that are really occupying your attention at this point as we are getting closer to actual real-life tackle NFL football?
Well, I mean, I got hot takes.
That's what I'm here for.
Okay. I don't know if you guys
I got some
hot takes. Okay. Well, I got six. I mean, I don't know if you want me to go through my entire.
Just
get
start with a couple. We'll just volley back and forth, okay, a little bit.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm going to go ahead and just build off best in sports, and I don't know some of these. I'm like, is this hot enough? Is this too obvious? I don't know that this one is a scorching, but some people may think so. I feel good about it.
Okay.
Shedeur Sanders will have the most starts this season of any Browns quarterback. And I totally expect Joe Flacco to start the opener.
Yep.
Shedeur Sanders will have the most starts of the Browns quarterbacks. I wouldn't be surprised if we see three different people getting starts and for it to be close between Flacco and Sanders. But I feel good about that one.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw four different people getting starts. Like, I think at some point this year, you'll probably see Flacco, Pickett, Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders all start a game, would be my guess. Hopefully, for their sake, you never see Snoop Huntley starting a game out there. That'd be awesome.
Good God. Like, have they already had the record for, like, most QBs signed at a different point within a calendar year? It's like six, right?
I mean, it's got to be. They got to be close. Like, it's unbelievable. The amount That's of quarterbacks wild. That have filtered through there, and it's August the 14th.
All right, so and people can weigh in on that one as they wish.
All right.
This one, I think, is hotter than that. And, you know, people will accuse me of bias, but I think the writing is so on the wall for this. The Detroit Lions will not win more than 9 games this year.
Oh, boy.
I think that's probably what they'll do. They'll go 9-8.
Okay.
They are. And, you know, I've said 10-7, but I looked at their schedule and I was like, I cannot find 10 wins. If you look at the Detroit Lions schedule, it's insanity. And obviously you get the first place schedule, but just like the circumstances of the schedule, it's wild. Like they're going to go like 9-8, 8-9 this year. And there'll be a lot of conclusions off that, including, you know, again, I don't want to circle this show all the way back around to making fun of Dan Campbell, because you have to respect him, right? He's good.
Yeah.
But also, I think there's some limitations there that we're going to find out real starkly this year.
I mean, that roster's still pretty darn good, man.
I
know their schedule. Like their schedule is very difficult. And that's what you'd expect with a first-place schedule, and there's a lot of high-level matchups that they're going to have to find a way to handle. And look, I'm with you from the standpoint of I do think a lot of things really fell their way last year, and they were really good. Like, they had a really good team, a really good coaching staff, and, you know, you don't just win 15 games by accident, okay? So I understand that. But I still think, like, it would be very surprising to me if they are not in the playoffs this year. And you can make the playoffs at 9-8. You can. And we'll see what that looks like. But you're going to be cutting it pretty close, I think, at 9-8, if that's where if that's how things play out for them this year. But just to highlight their schedule a little bit, I mean, they start with the Packers. They got the Ravens in week 3. They got the Bengals in week five. They got Tampa Bay. They got Washington again. You know, obviously their division, which was really good last year. You got the Steelers. You got the Rams. Like, it's a pretty loaded schedule.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you lose one of the hearts of your team in Frank Ragnow at center. You have one edge rusher still. I know he's back, but like one edge rusher. You got questions, I think, all over the defense. He helps, Aiden Hutchinson. But and then, look, Amon-Ra St. Brown, as great as he is, I still struggle to buy that Jameson Williams is going to become this consistent force. He's a huge play guy, and last year, obviously, he took a big step. But there's talk about him now. He's going to be like a steady diet.
Yeah.
You know, I have my doubts about that. He's a little bit of a loose cannon. So, and then again, the coordinators. I mean, how important are, and this is for any team that doesn't have the play calling OC head coach. You have a great offense with a great OC. You lose that OC. What's that look like?
I got a coaching one for you. Everybody's talking about like the best coaching odds to be fired. And if you look at it, Brian Daboll is at the top of most of those lists, right? Because the Giants aren't good. You know, we'll see what they look like with Russell Wilson. And we know that the Giants owner is fed up with losing. So if they don't put together some sort of, I don't know if magical, but if they don't put together a big-time improvement of a season this year, Daboll and that staff are probably gone. I tell you who the first coach in the NFL that's going to be fired is. Mike McDaniel of the Miami Dolphins. Like, it just looks like that's going to end so poorly. And you've got the Tyreek Hill stuff from last year of him basically saying that he wanted out. And apparently that has rubbed the locker room the wrong way.
I mean, what's the reports that people are keeping an eye on the trade situation still with Tyreek Hill, even right now?
Yeah, like Tua got up with a microphone a couple weeks ago and was just like, they asked him about it, and he was just like, yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of work to do to rebuild some trust in the locker room. I was like, wow, okay. You don't really hear your quarterback say that a lot, but that has clearly been a problem for them. And here's the other thing, Joe, and I think it's all fun and funny when you're like new and you've got, you know, Mike McDaniel, we made fun of it. He looks like a high school chemistry teacher, and then he's out there drawing up all this crazy stuff offensively. And don't get me wrong, like, I think he's a good coach. I think he's kind of a brilliant offensive mind, but he's also like a total goofball. And I think when you're not winning and you're a total goofball sometimes, that starts to work against you pretty quickly. And I think Mike McDaniel is going to find himself as the first coach fired this year. I don't think they're going to be very good at all.
Yeah, no, I don't hate that at all. I think you're onto something. It's funny too, because totally different kinds of goofballs, but we were just talking about Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so endearing when you're winning. Like, oh my God, this is amazing. And yeah, we'll see. And then all of a sudden you lose a little bit, or even in the early days of the biting of the kneecaps, it's amazing how someone's image can change.
How worried are we about Dallas in this whole situation with Micah Parsons and Jerry, and how much drama that could bring them down?
Jerry, I guess, was on, I guess they're coming out with something. Is it Netflix that they're coming out with something?
Some new documentary.
For the new documentary. And, of course, you know, he got in front of a microphone, which is always interesting when Jerry Jones gets in front of the microphone. And I did find it interesting. Like, he basically just came out and said that, sometimes when things are kind of boring or stale around there, I like to shake things up and create a little drama. It's like, well, I think we knew that about you, but it's interesting to hear you come out there and say it. I don't know. Like, this whole Micah Parsons thing to me just continues to be weird. Like, he was asked yesterday about, like, what's preventing you from talking with Micah Parsons. He's like, nothing. Like, nothing's preventing me from talking to Micah Parsons. It's like, well, get it figured out then, man. Like, it's, you know, the stats are telling us you got, like, the second coming of Reggie White out there, and you're screwing around with the contract negotiation. So, yeah, I'm very worried about it if you're a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, well, that comment about, you know, the drama and all that kind of stuff, what does that say to the players?
Exactly.
And, you know, so your you're just mindset screw of around? The team.
Yeah.
You know, are you trying to win, or are you trying to
be
create a bunch of TV stuff?
Right.
You know, maybe that goes back to the whole why the Cowboys have stunk for so long lately. Maybe the whole mentality of the franchise is all out of whack.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think the mentality of him in particular, it sometimes – He misses the point of what he's supposed to be doing. I mean, I still think it's ultimately going to get figured out, and he's going to be a great player. Like it, and then it's just going to end up, you know. So does that have any effect on this? I don't know. I mean, don't those players already know that he's a goofball?
I mean, yes, they do. But, like, you would hope that – like, I think your hope is that he's a goofball that is, like, totally committed to doing whatever it takes to win. And I have no doubt that Jerry Jones wants to win. But, like, when you're needlessly screwing around with stuff, if I'm a player, I'm like, how is this helping us? Like, how is you, like, purposefully stirring up drama helping us win? Like, it doesn't add up to me.
No, for sure. It's gotten to the point where it's got to be really tiresome for the people who are more serious in that organization.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts. People are mad at Rex Road on the text line. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Paul Kuharsky later this hour, we believe. He'll be with us in the second half of the program. We'll get into all things Titans and Falcons with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Later today on 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds taking on Durham with first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on all things NFL at 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
Yeah, how y'all doing, Joe, Robbie? This is Mark from Nashville. Good. This is 102.5 The Game. I'm getting ready to speak for the people of Nashville. Here we go.
All right.
Joe Rex Road. I got some hot takes, too, Robbie. Joe, Robbie, I'm going to agree with what you said about the mad scientist down there in Miami, Mike McDaniels. He's not a head coach anyway. He's really a good offensive coordinator. He is. He's a genius as an offensive coordinator. You're probably right. Put Brian Callahan in that conversation too.
He may
end up losing his job. But Joe, I got my relatives from Detroit sitting there texting the you know what out of me right now. You made a comment about the Lions and you said that they wouldn't win. Joe, you know what? You may be right. I'm gonna agree with you on that, Joe. They may go back a little this year. They lost. Ben Johnson is a huge loss. And now you got Joe Morton in there. You got Kelvin Shepherd as the DC. Joe Morton as the OC. Dan Campbell the head coach. You may be right, Joe. They may end up going back a little bit. But my hot take is with you all, Joe, Robbie. I'm gonna say that Jaden Daniels, if they don't get this Terry McLaurin situation straightened out, pay the man like they're supposed to, give him his bag, he's going to take a step or two back this year. He's playing a tough schedule this year against 10 top defensive teams in the NFL. So, you know, we're going to see how that situation goes.
Okay.
And Jerry Jones is always drama. But, Joe, I'm going to agree with you today, man. You know I love you, man. You know I'm going to – Joe, you know I'm going to ride and die with you, man. You know how it goes, you and Robbie both. But I'm going to get down here to Atlanta, man. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Well, Joe, it's funny he brings that up because we're going to get, you know, we're a couple weeks away from our, you know, playoff predictions, which sometimes we are remarkably good at and sometimes we are just unbelievably bad at. So I'm looking forward to that going up here in a couple weeks. But I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek of one right now. I got a hot take for you. The Washington Commanders are not making the playoffs. They are not going to make the playoffs this year.
Okay.
We're
going to
see a little bit of a sophomore slump. Not anything major from Jaden Daniels. But I do think, despite the fact that they got to the NFC title game last year, I do think you have to remember that they were a team that barely got in the playoffs. They got a schedule this year that when you look at it, I mean, they're on the road at Kansas City. They got Detroit. They got Denver, who I think could be pretty good. They got to take on Minnesota. They got Green Bay in week two. Like, they're on the road. Like, there's some tough games that they're going to have this year, and that's not even factor in. Obviously, they got to play the Eagles twice in their division. There's a scorcher for you. The Washington Commanders, even after the additions that they made this offseason, and I still think the Terry McLaurin situation is probably going to get resolved at some point, so I'm counting him as a part of this team. They ain't making the playoffs, baby. What do you think of that?
There's some smoke coming off that one.
Let the record show that I picked the Buffalo Bills to not make the playoffs last year, and they ended up in the AFC Championship game.
Well, that's true. And by the way, I've got a non-playoff hot take too, which I think could potentially be similar to your Bills. So my team that I don't think will make the playoffs, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
Now which would be a third year in a row, I believe, right? Third year in a row.
That is correct, yes.
Which, you know, then you get into, I mean, if that's the case, and
their coach is definitely fired.
Absolutely. Well, that's true. And I actually, you know, I've totally believe that Joe Burrow is a great quarterback and he should be in that top tier. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, it makes for an interesting conversation. I think the conversation is really, again, can we separate QB performance and excellence from team in some cases? I mean, and obviously, it's like in a lot of different fronts, we argue that point. I got another one, which I don't, I mean, the way things are going, might people might think is a hot take, but I don't think it's probably my coolest one, which is the Titans will not earn the number one pick in the 2026 NFL draft.
No, okay.
I'm not promising you they won't have 31.
Good to know.
I'm sorry. I'm not promising you they won't have two.
If they have 31, what a freaking year this is going to be.
Super
Bowl runner up, baby.
Losing Titans. Yeah. That's a parade. Yeah, they will not have the number one pick. So there you go. Does that count as optimism? Is that blowing sunshine?
I mean, look, it's pretty hard to repeat as the worst team in the league. I'm not saying you can't do it because we've seen it done before, but it's pretty hard to do. And look, we had Frank Schwab on the other day from Yahoo Sports, and I do think that there is a chance for the Saints to be a special kind of bad this year. Like, I don't know, maybe Tyler Shuck is really good. We'll see what happens on that front. But go look at their roster. Like, it's, like he said, it's old and not good. And that's not a very good combination in the National Football League. I understand that they play in a bad division. Now go look at the Titans. They play in a bad division too. So it's kind of comparable that way. But I do think that there's a chance that the Saints are one of those teams where you look in December and it's like, wow, they've won one game so far this year. How about that? Good for them.
Yeah, no, they have a chance to absolutely be special, no doubt. Now the Titans,
yeah, I'm not going to discount that possibility here either. Yeah,
they have some the makings of something really extraordinary here. So let's not sell them short. Have you got more?
Oh yeah, I got one more for you that is going to be interesting at this time. I'll put it to you this way: after this season, there will be a large talking point, even though contractually it will be borderline impossible to do. We're going to be talking a lot about Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars looking ahead for the next quarterback. I think it's another opportunity for him this year with Liam Cohen coming in. And I still think that I think he is what he is at this point, which is at times an okay quarterback, and you're always walking away wanting more. And again, with the contract he just signed, it's not like they're going to have a new quarterback next year. But I think one of the talking points that we will be talking about after this season is if Trevor Lawrence doesn't dramatically improve in 2026, Jacksonville is going to be looking for another quarterback.
I like it. No, I mean, you know, there are some Jags fans who probably would find that to be scorching hot.
I'm done with it. Like, maybe Liam Cohen is an absolute genius, but I think he kind of is what he is at this point. I think we've seen what Trevor Lawrence is, which is, if he's healthy at times, fine, and if he's not being totally reckless with the football, you can win some games with him. But he's never going to be what they thought he was when they drafted him, ever.
No, and I think that is not a hot take. I think that it's hard to argue otherwise, but yeah, that it's like, it's one of those things where if they are looking forward, to me, that almost suggests a step back just because they've paid, and it's like, you know, he's usually fine, you know, like you said. So it's like, what causes you to move on? What causes you to move on from somebody like that? It's always an interesting question. All right, I got two more.
All right,
quickly. One, this one is a little bit of my Bryce Young bias.
Oh boy.
Tet McMillan, Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. All right.
Tet McMillan, polarizing prospect. I saw, you know, a few plays in the preseason, and it was all I needed. I'm like, that dude, and they've got some other good receivers, by the way, but I think he's going to be an absolute monster.
Xavier Leggett, what more would you need?
I know. But nice compliment, and he needs to not fight with people and stay on the field.
I like him fighting out there.
My last one is definitely my hottest take, and I mean, people are gonna probably laugh at this, and that's fine. I don't even know if I believe it, but I can see this being the shocking team. NFL Coach of the Year. Can you guess who I'm naming there?
The Vrabster.
It is not the Vrabster.
Okay. All right.
Mike Tomlin, NFL Coach of the Year.
Okay.
Can you believe it?
Wow. How about that?
Which obviously is like a huge leap on Aaron Rodgers
that
a lot of people aren't willing to make. And I'm not sure that I feel good about it, but that's why it's a hot take.
There we go. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharsky is in the building. We will welcome him to the program. Coming up next, we'll get into all things Titans and Falcons. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com is with us for the rest of the program. PK, welcome back from Georgia. How are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. I am well. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be in studio. It's nice to be, quote unquote, back.
It is.
It's not nice that Joseph is not here. Where are you, Joseph? I did not hear that while I was driving in.
I'm here at home,
and
but
I'm happy to
hear you. Oh, I got some stuff going on.
Well, I mean, we all have stuff going on, but then we have work going on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm working. I appreciate your concern.
That's all we get?
Well, I mean, I don't need to answer to you, whether in public or
private.
No,
not to me, but to the listenership, to the audience.
Well, I mean, I feel like my voice is coming through with a booming, you know, the normal sexy voice that I always bring to the show every day. And
can you confirm or deny?
Everybody knows it's a better show when everybody's together in one room. So people are curious. People were asking me on my way in.
Can you confirm or deny you're dealing with the issue that Art and Keith threw out there yesterday that the Titans apparently really took hold of to begin that practice?
I would prefer that. I mean, if you want me to take a picture, if you want me to take a picture of my foot, Carson,
is this gout?
To you, I can. Yes, it is gout.
Why did you tell him that?
Thanks. Well, I don't know. I'm sick of him badgering.
We're honest friends. We're honesty amongst friends.
You're such a good
interviewer. But it's the last person you should tell that.
I'm such a good interviewer.
This is the total last person on the earth. I wasn't going to say anything. And here you are, just outing yourself to him.
I'm a great interviewer, as he said. Got it out of him. Gout, this is such a bad flare-up of gout that you can't make it in.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts very, very much to walk right now.
God almighty.
Thanks for asking.
You see, you have the look on his face. You've made his week over here. You didn't have to. You could have just played it off.
It's just reveling
in my misery. A word. Let the
reveling
record show
in my pain.
I didn't say anything.
It both entertains and disgusts me.
Good. Yeah, no sympathy. Just, you know, just amusement
second,
and disgust.
Second level sympathy. Second
now
level.
The text line, the YouTube chat is just going to lose it here. So, I didn't say anything. Just let the record show. This is a Joe Rex Road voluntary divulsion of information.
We've got time, so we'll return to this. I come with a counterpoint to one of your collective points from your very entertaining NFL prediction segment.
Cool.
Okay.
I sense some sarcasm in that, but
no,
thank you.
I was surprised by this. Warren Sharp, who's a great analytics guy, called this to my attention last week. I went back and looked up the numbers. Mike McDaniel, who I have the same questions that you guys have about him. But Mike McDaniel, whose career record is 28-25 since 2022, including two playoff losses. If you look at him with his starting quarterback, who is not, I think we would all agree, a great starting quarterback, 25-16. I think as a three-year record for a team that we all acknowledge is not fantastically talented, 25-16, I think a lot of people would take that from their starting, from their young head coach. Record without his starting quarterback, 3-9.
And they've had some doozies of quarterbacks.
Including two playoff losses.
Yeah.
So they haven't had good backup quarterbacks, and their backup quarterback play has been terrible. And we saw firsthand a Titans win ugly, ugly game when they had to go three deep at quarterback. But 25-16 with his guy, who's not great, I think is a pretty good defense of Mike McDaniel.
No, I hear. I think my take on it is more in anticipation of how I think it's going to go for them this year. Like, you know, Tyreek Hill is another year older. They clearly, there's a problem in that locker room with him. And I, look, maybe that gets resolved by the time the season comes around. I have no idea. But there's some infighting going on there. You know, Tua, can you really trust him to stay healthy? It just feels like to me the walls are closing in there. So I could be totally wrong there. I just don't like the way that it is setting up for him this year.
Well, you also wonder about the competition in that division.
Yeah.
Jets under new management. How's that going to go?
The Vrabster.
Patriots under new management. Everybody's expecting them to get better pretty quickly, and they have a quarterback. And so who am I forgetting? I always forget one team in a division.
Well, the Bills. The Bills.
Yeah, and the Bills are kind of good.
Yeah, and the Bills are great. So, you know, they obviously expect it to be more competitive in the division than they've been. But, you know, I was dismissive of them overall, and I do think they're on a downswing. But I have to say, even in the AFC, which is a stronger conference, that seventh playoff spot opens the door for a bad team to be a playoff team. And I think if you're a playoff team in the NFL, it's hard to make a change, even if you're I consider that seventh playoff team to be in a whole different category. Like there are six
fired
teams.
A coach who won a playoff game.
Yeah.
That is true.
And it wasn't necessarily the wrong thing. Quite frankly, I think it was the right thing. I know there are some malarkey defenders. And Mike Malarkey, on his own merits, maybe didn't deserve to be fired, but for the fact that he would not move on from Terry Rubisky, probably deserved to be fired.
So, PK, you were down there the last 2 days in Georgia where the Titans have the joint practice against the Falcons. So I'll just ask you your general overarching takeaways from how the Titans performed against Atlanta. We heard it was pretty bad on day one of practice, maybe a little bit better yesterday in day two, but overall, what kind of stood out to you as the Titans took on Atlanta?
Yeah, well, I'm reluctant to call the second day a bounce back day, because when you actually come out and play, you know, you don't have a super slow start and you kind of maybe play to a semi wash. You know, you're not meeting some high standard. You're not terrible. So hooray for the Titans, who managed to recover from an awful day to get to mid or decent or okay or whatever you would call this the second day. But I don't think it was in any way a parade worthy that they recovered from awful to get to okay. They're just not very good. Now, I wasn't watching the defensive field, and maybe from what I read from the other guys, the fight stuff did have a bigger carryover effect. But still, these early concerns there were about kind of the overall feel of this team and kind of the play-to-play flat. It just feels like they're waiting for something to happen. I don't know what that is, but I feel like everybody's waiting for something to happen. And it's whatever it is they're waiting for isn't happening. Or when it happens, it doesn't light a fuse. On offense, you know, the first day, they threw more stuff, mid-range stuff, maybe some deeper stuff. And then what they come back with the next day is more conservative. Like, what they do when things don't go right is, all right, we're going to pull it back.
They're going in the shell.
And go into a shell and turtle it a little bit and what we'll revert to is a short timing tempo thing. And if we can get into that rhythm, then maybe we'll start to build some shots out of that rhythm. But I think it lends itself to a certain predictability defensively. And then the ball's not always out quick enough, early enough, on time, or the defense is sitting on it. And so you get a ball out to a receiver quickly, 3 yards off the line of the scrimmage wide, and he didn't have any space to operate. There are three guys closing on him, and so you throw it 3 yards, and you're getting 3.5. can they march down the field like that? Sure, a lot of teams march down the field like that. But, A, you know, you have to execute really well all the way down the field to have a 13 or 17-play drive like that. And, B, again, this idea of juice, if you will. I mean, once in a while, and I'm not saying they can't do it. Obviously, Ridley and Ward have been very good. But what are the odds you're going to march down the field like that 4 times in a game to get your 28 or your 24?
Not high at all.
You know, you're going to need that big explosive play in there somewhere, A, to make things easier on you, and B, to kind of punch somebody in the face.
So we talked earlier about the Drake London one performance against the defense on the first day, and then you know, Callahan's explanation. Like, how dominant are we talking here, PK? I don't know how much you're watching D.
Yeah, well, the first day I watched D almost exclusively. Now, I mean, the volume wasn't sick, and maybe we're talking 6 balls total, but it seemed to me anytime they wanted, they could put Bijan Robinson wide, make Cody Barton follow him out there, and then against zone, run him in the middle, and he could catch the ball between 3 or 4 defenders, and they could do that at will. And the Titans couldn't adjust to it, couldn't do anything. Now, in this system, Joe, that I know that you love, this happens on Tuesday, and we could talk to Callahan about it Wednesday morning.
Right.
So we get a Wednesday morning review of what happened on Tuesday. Then we can't talk to him about what happens Wednesday afternoon, about how they adjusted to it.
You never really will.
The game's coming up tomorrow.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So I did not watch the defense yesterday. He said they need to tighten up the throwing lanes in zone. I don't know how exactly that works. I think if you tighten up those throwing lanes, somebody else is open. I do think the Falcons, you know, in terms of their weaponry and talent, are pretty good. And I think between Robinson and Pitts and London, they're going to do some damage in a division that's, you know, both they and Tampa stand to be pretty good if Tampa doesn't immediately turn old, which is potential. But, you know, Drake London made them look like they just didn't know what to do.
Well, I want to get into the Drake London comment that Brian Callahan had with you a little bit deeper coming up next, because there was something he said in there that, frankly, I had a big problem with, and I want to get your thoughts on it. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com is with us for the rest of the program. We're getting into all things Tennessee Titans with him. So Brian Callahan said something yesterday as our show was wrapping up that caught my attention. And we talked about it a little bit earlier on our show, but I'd love to get your thoughts on it as well. So he was talking about day one and Drake London basically doing whatever he wanted to do out there and made a catch. And he made a comment toward the end of his answer that really kind of bothers me when I think about it. Let's play that comment from Brian Callahan. Okay, we'll get to Brian Callahan's comments here in just a second. But there was a comment that he had basically on the Drake London part of this. And we've talked with you about this before, PK, that we know Brian Callahan trends positive with a lot of the answers that he's got. And I don't, on the surface, have a problem with that. But when you start going down the rabbit hole of, you know, he talked about the defense and all these different things, and then he finally got to Drake London and what he was able to do to them in day one of practice. And let's just play the clip. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say on the Drake London front.
How is London able to get so open so often in the middle of the
field? We got to tighten some of the interior coverage lanes up. He did a good job. They had some space. I mean, we're playing zone coverage in some of those spots, and he's finding the space in there. And we got to do a better job covering from the interior. And Drake's a really good player. I think he caught pretty much every pass they threw yesterday. We were pretty good in most other places, but he had a good day yesterday.
So pretty good in most other places, but Drake London caught every pass that they threw. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting this, PK. I heard that. It bothered me because I got to thinking about what that means in a game. And it's like, okay, well, in 2 weeks when L.A. comes to town, nobody's going to care if Tutu Atwell has two catches for 17 yards if you look over your shoulder and Devontae Adams has caught 13 balls for 150 yards and two touchdowns. Like, you have to slow down the other team's best receiver. Am I making too much of this?
No, I think it's fair. I think they're couching a lot of things. He's couching a lot of things that are problems right now as not problems. You know, they're down to 18 days, 6 padded practices, and 2 preseason games, which I guess you can look at as a lot. I think there's, outside of the games, there's more in the rearview mirror than there is coming through the windshield.
Yeah.
Which is a problem. And yeah, the strategy of the most successful coach of our lifetime is to stop the premium guy, the top weapon at all costs, and take your chances with Tutu Atwell. So, how you don't go in, even with a casual plan and say, we really want to slow down London and take our chances with Corey Washington. They say they don't plan that much. Here's the thing that drove me crazy, and everybody thinks it's – or a lot of people will think it's me picking on Jeff Simmons. Jeff Simmons, I don't know. You make of this what you will.
Okay.
The first play of team, they had something special for Simmons. He says it's something I've never seen. It's clearly designed for me. And he seemed like – I don't want to say befuddled, but a little bemused by that. Shouldn't you expect that? You're Jeff Simmons. Well, you're always asking for respect. You're always telling us how you're double teamed and people really pay attention to you. He kind of says it like it's a surprise, or, hey, look at that. But he says, hey, look at that. Not like, look how they're respecting me. He says, hey, look at that. Like, take note that I wasn't able to do anything on that play because of how they treated me.
Well, you bring up the example that immediately came to mind when I heard him say that, and when you brought up the question of, well, I'm getting double teamed. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, it's double teaming me. Go look at the tape. They're double teaming me every play out there. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure they are. The guys at your position that get paid your type of money overcome some of those double teams, and you need to do that more often.
Well, then he went on to say, the runs that hit us in that first practice hit us because they were unfamiliar to us. We have not seen that stuff on film. Well, are they going to have a map of what Denver's going to do to them on opening day, what the Rams are going to do? Generally, in the first couple games, you don't have great film on what's coming. And so why isn't the attitude, hey, we're going to see some new stuff today, and we need to figure it out on the fly and make plays. The attitude is, well, they got us on some stuff, but we hadn't seen it before. I hate that. I hate that. I think that's a DNA flaw. And I think it starts with Jeff.
That's fair.
It always comes back to Jeff for you, doesn't it? Always comes back to Jeff.
Am I wrong?
No, not necessarily. I just think that, like, at this point, we kind of know that his explanations of anything that is a failure will not be satisfactory, right? Isn't that pretty clear at this point? Like, it's not going to change.
It's not going to – well, no, the way he explains things are not going to change. And so maybe this team's just not going to change on the defensive side of the ball with that mindset. There's a seeming excuse underlying virtually everything that doesn't go wrong. Instead of, hey, they hit us with some runs that we hadn't seen, and we need to do better on the fly. Well, that's a very, I mean, yep. I think virtually anybody would think to say something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that,
why can't you say that? Why is that not in his frame of possibility? Is it pride?
Phrase it exactly that way and say, Jeff, will you repeat after me? And see if he'll, you know, see if he'll.
The odds of Jeff repeating after me are less than Jeff saying I got to beat a double team once in a while.
I just think that, like, this, you know, I agree that there's, of course, Callahan, like Robbie said, I mean, he drifts toward, well, here's the bright side of that, right? And it's just hard with this team right now, like the bright side. It's just hard to find if you're really examining it. But I just feel like that, the energy talk, you tell me, PK, the energy talk, the motivation talk, the coaching talk even. I'm not trying to take responsibility for coaching, but all those things, all these discussions really just boil down to, like, when this team plays against other teams, the other team has better players than them, and then it's very, very clear to see that.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it starts. But, right, what I wrote yesterday is, like, they need the sum of the parts to be greater than the whole.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen. As of now, well, that's not happening.
And again, like, I think Callahan is culpable in this too, because, like, and PK, you could tell me better because you were there and we joined in on the press conference, like, right when he was saying this yesterday. So maybe I'm missing some context, but, like, he started talking about, he got blitzed about how bad the practice was on Tuesday, and then he started talking about, it was nice to know, like, he made this offhand comment of, like, well, it's nice to know the standard's high. And it's like, oh, yeah, man, it's the National Football League. And I understand that you trend positive, but, like, everybody who was there is telling us that the Titans basically got killed against the Falcons on Tuesday at the practice. And I get it. It's a practice. I've talked about this before. We make so much a practice in this sport, it's mind-boggling to me sometimes. But it's the information that we have to go on. And I just felt like throughout the press conference yesterday, Brian Callahan was just like, yeah, well, it's not that big a deal. It's just practice out there. What difference does it make?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're in a tough spot. I think the beginning of the schedule is really going to be bad for them. I think they're a team that can't fall behind, because you fall behind and then you're going to put too much on Cam. One interesting thing that I mentioned in my piece, if you look at the guys – the quarterbacks, look specifically at Jaden Daniels, but look at Lamar Jackson at the beginning too. The guys who have been the best rookie quarterbacks, they've been able to drop back. If they understand the read and everything, they can make a play. If they don't understand the read, they've been able to run and still make a play. Well, Cam is not that kind of quarterback. So if he doesn't understand the read, doesn't understand what he's seeing, he either needs to eat it, and so you're sacrificing a play, or he's at risk of trying to create something, which is where problems happen. So best case scenario, you're sacrificing a down. Worst case scenario, you're doing something risky. Either way, though, you're losing that down, where Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson or some of these other good running quarterbacks would get you first down, maybe, or sometimes
picking up
a huge
positive
play.
Yeah. There's a couple things on the Cam Ward front I want to get to with you coming up next. We'll do that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Paul Kuharsky with us for the rest of the program. We'll take in your questions for him on our text line as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.